What would a sexual experience with MacGyver be like? Make a vibrator out of like a Nokia 6210 and an old gumboot.
Hot wiring it.
Yeah. How's the gumboot fit in?
You need some rubber.
Okay.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Oh, grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete series, your incomplete guide to every television show that you've never watched. This is the podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and then the very last episode of that TV series and just try and figure out why they made it. Joining me to do this, back this week after a short hiatus, is my good friend Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome.
Hello.
It's nice to see you.
Hello.
It's nice to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah.
It's feeling refreshed after my sabbatical.
Mm. What did you get up to?
Explored the world of podcasting abroad.
Excellent.
Sort of dug deep in...
Because you are doing your postgrad in...
Track down the origins of podcasting. Yeah. Goes back all the way to the Mayans, started podcast.
You're kidding?
Yeah. No way.
Comes from the ancient Mayan word of... Put the gut... No. I took a week off for exams. But okay. I'm back. Podcast exams.
Sweet. Mm. All right. Awesome. And Aaron. Aaron, how are you?
I'm great. Good to have Jez back alongside me. I was uncomfortable sitting so close to you, Morgan.
Yeah, well, how did you guys sort of... In what... Was it like a triangle... Last time, what sort of orientation did you sit?
What's the bad triangle?
Like a Illuminati triangle?
Bermuda's triangle?
Yeah, Illuminati triangle, that's what it was.
Okay, who's in the middle? Oh, who's the eye?
What kind of triangle are you talking about?
The uneven one, that's what it was.
That's isosceles triangle.
I don't think it is. Isosceles has two even sides.
No, it's
like the long, tall one.
Equilateral.
Even on all sides.
Yeah.
Isosceles like is the...
People losing their minds because it's a... Like grade four maths.
Yeah. Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
We're not
in grade four anymore.
Google the bad triangle.
Okay. Yeah. It was a weird setup.
Bermuda triangle.
Aaron and I were sitting on the table. Morgan was like on the roof, like the baby from Trainspotting. Yeah. It was weird.
I don't know why we set
never
it up
seen
like
Trainspotting.
That.
No, you haven't seen that scene where the baby crawls along the roof?
No. Yeah.
Ceiling, should I say?
Mm. I was thinking more like Mission Impossible. But
no, it wasn't that sort of thing.
It's more my...
Scalene triangle.
A scalene triangle.
Has no equal size.
That's a bad name.
I don't like that at all.
That's what it was.
Scalene.
We're back to the good old square.
You could hear it came through in the audio. Scaleneness.
It's very sharp.
The show, yeah.
Jagged edges.
Is this a square or a diamond?
Depends which way you look at it.
Definitely wasn't divisible by two.
Perhaps a rhombus.
I think it's a rhombus.
Oh, no, I don't like that.
Okay. But anyway, Scott, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Welcome to the program.
Thanks. 37 episodes in a row.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm still here.
I think you're the only one that's been in every single episode, I believe.
We've
all taken time off except for you.
Mm.
I don't know what happened.
Have you got long service leave coming
up? Am I supposed
up?
To take a hint or?
Yeah, you're building up too much leave. You've got to take some.
Yeah. You're probably wondering why we asked you to come here today.
It's a lie, really.
This is why.
I'm just that high school teacher that just doesn't take a day off and then they've got like 12 years.
And then they have a heart attack.
Yeah, dies late on the job.
Yeah, that's me. From my cold, dead hands, you will take this microphone.
Anyway, we're firing you live on air.
Yeah. we thought it would be really suitable if we also, while we fired you, probably just, put an episode down as well. Probably handy.
Because
we've got the equipment set up now, so we may as well. Yeah, so we may as well get rid of you and then do an episode at the same time. It's a real win-win. I mean, not for you.
No, obviously
but
not.
For us, it's pretty...
It's a real free win. Just a single, singular win.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a real win.
And the listeners don't know this, but we don't speak outside of this podcast.
Not at all.
It had to happen on the podcast.
Morgan refuses to. He speaks through his people.
Yeah, exactly. So all the communication's done through my agent.
Mm.
I mean, I don't consider us friends. We are colleagues. That's even a stretch to say that.
Yeah, it's fair enough. You like to keep the two separate colleagues. And
strictly exactly. professional.
Friends, exactly.
That's what we admire about you. Why you're our fearless leader and the host of this show.
Yeah, well, I have, it's...
How long till the incomplete series with Morgan Cole?
My people are working on it.
Yeah?
So, just first step was get rid of Scott. Next step, Aaron, you're next.
All right, moving around.
Yeah.
You're going to bring in Paul Schaefer at some point?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. I was thinking more probably I might get Kid Cudi as my band leader instead.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It'd be great. Lyle... Start wearing suits and anyway, let's get away from my solo project. That's not for you guys to worry about. It's irrelevant. Mm. I'm really excited the fact that we finally did this show.
I feel like it's been calling for a while.
It has
I feel
been.
Like this was the show that we were destined to do.
I think like for first episodes, it was like, is it going to be Jag or is it going to be MacGyver?
Yeah,
and it was Jag. And
for then, 37th episode, Is it going to be Jag or MacGyver?
Well, we talked about doing Jag again, but we figured that was probably a waste of time.
Yeah, maybe 38th episode.
Yeah, yeah, we might. We'll think about Will and
Liz. Coming back around.
It could happen.
Do the second episode and the second last episode of Jag, maybe.
Until we've seen the whole thing, yeah. Keep moving
exactly.
In.
Exactly.
Hopefully it's an even number, otherwise we'll just miss out on one in the middle. We'll never know.
No.
But MacGyver, I was really excited for this show because this is one that really sings to me from my childhood.
I never watched it. I never watched any of it when I was younger.
My mum loved this show. Loved it.
Do you mean
my sister completely irrelevant?
Do you mean love this show or love Richard Dean Anderson?
Loved Richard Dean Anderson. I'm sensing your mum also loved Richard Dean Anderson.
Not so much.
Nah, not really.
Really? Maybe it's just my mum loved Richard Dean Anderson. He's dashingly handsome.
Mm-hmm.
I consider him somewhat of a father figure because I grew up with MacGyver and then Stargate. So
yeah, he's been there for a long time.
My pseudo dad.
Yeah,
you could do a lot worse.
I was thinking to myself during the first episode. I was wondering why his career didn't sort of take off more. He's got he ticks a lot of boxes for. It's weird that out of sort of niche 80s, 90s action TV show stars. Mm. Like, why did the Hoff get famous and Dean Anderson was sort of left to wallow with the sci-fi?
Because he is kind of like a Hoff-esque sort of figure.
Yeah. He's got...
Not as popular.
He ticks all the boxes.
I don't know. I mean, he was...
Didn't take down the Berlin Wall.
No. Well, that was this issue.
I don't know. Would you
he put it up, actually.
Would you consider... Would you,
no way.
Yeah.
Would you consider the Hoff that much more successful than him, though?
They both, I think at the time, probably.
He's far more well-known.
Yeah, this is true. But, I mean, they both had, two long-running TV series.
And, again, the show's something that, a lot of... It's not going to offend many people. So I feel like it should have widespread appeal. And the hair...
It was pretty popular back in the day.
Top five haircuts of the 80s, surely.
Oh, the
it is quintessential.
Yeah, the mullet in the first episode, it's nice, but it really takes a lot.
By the
of
end,
own.
It is
it's phew. Pretty fierce.
Mm. Yeah, gets a separate credit.
I assume it had
that was in 92 as well.
That's the
just
thing.
Pushing all the way through.
The first mullet was the first mullet in the 85 mullet felt like the 92 mullet.
Yeah,
the 92 mullet that seemed like a
85 mullet.
Yeah, maybe that's why the Hoff was a little bit more popular. Is that he was a little bit more with the times.
Yeah,
finger on the pulse.
His haircut sort of grew with him.
Yeah, whereas Richard Dean Anderson really just kind of
went against the grain.
He was a lone wolf. He just did his own thing.
Mm. Yeah, it's something to be respected, I guess.
Classic MacGyver.
Exactly. Jeremy, going in, what did you know about MacGyver? Apart from the obvious things.
The few mentions that it's had on The Simpsons, and I'm a big fan of the movie MacGruber.
I am also a massive fan of the movie MacGruber.
That was pretty much my... Like the full length and breadth of my knowledge of the show. I knew that he just was he was staunchly against guns and solved problems by using just household objects, whatever he could muster. I didn't realize that he was sort of a secret agent though.
I think he's a bit of a subcontractor.
A spy. Yeah. I don't really know even after watching it what he actually is.
Sort of like a missionary type.
Yeah.
But not quite.
Yeah, they just kind of call him up when they've got a very specific problem that only he can solve.
A real handy man.
Yeah.
The handiest man.
I think he's just like a carpenter in his spare time or something.
I think so.
He'd be good with his hands.
Yeah, just lives in an observatory.
Working in the Bigger Brother program. Such a great guy.
Aaron, what about you? What did you know about MacGyver going in?
I can't add any more than that. Yeah, never seen an episode. Just knew he is very, he can innovate very well.
A man can innovate.
Loves a paperclip.
Mm.
Loves a Swiss Army knife.
Well, I was very happy that he got a paperclip out in that first episode.
Yeah.
I was really very disappointed otherwise.
All the hits.
the classic MacGyver hits. What about you, Scott? Do you know much about MacGyver going in?
Yeah, not much. Just there's that clip from Family Guy that I recall laughing at a lot where he's like...
Peter sends him in envelopes with a straw, a rubber band, and a paperclip.
What am I supposed to do?
Flicks himself in the eye.
That's the extent of my knowledge, but obviously it's weaved its way into many areas of pop culture.
Yeah, well, they've actually already rebooted this series.
Yeah, 2016.
It's had a couple of seasons. It just doesn't look very good.
Is it still going or has it failed?
I think it's still going.
I think it's still going.
Yeah.
It's got a 5.1 on IMDb.
That's really low.
That's not so bad.
That's really low.
For IMDb ratings.
It's okay. Watching this show, it's one of those things I actually have a note saying they don't make TV like this anymore, and they really don't.
They really,
no.
And which is kind of like, it definitely has its time and place. You can't it probably recapture the magic of that.
Everything we've watched probably fits, like, it's very similar in the tone and the what they're trying to achieve is the A-Team, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rhyming
even
a
the even the theme song.
Oh. Yeah.
Very
yeah.
familiar.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I'm just going to put my glasses on.
Oh, hello.
All right.
Looking good.
Thank you. Just, I couldn't read and I couldn't see anything. so I had to put my glasses on.
I didn't know you were a 60-year-old man.
Whipped out some. How do you even describe these glasses?
They were the Robert Vaughn glasses from the A-Team. So there's the old man, the 60-year-old man glasses.
What's the guy giant in? Yellow tinted sort of glasses aviators. That don't really do anything except tinge everything yellow.
John Goodman glasses from the Big Lebowski.
Yes. Of course. Funny though.
Are you going to wear those the whole time?
Yeah, I will, because yesterday Aaron and I were driving.
Did you just get these?
No, I got them in, when we were away, we got it. We were pretty, it was, probably 2 a.m. We're pretty drunk. And
yeah, so obviously Morgan, we went to Perth for the weekend. Morgan had forgotten his sunglasses, decided at 2 a.m. it was the time to buy some.
Well, they're not sunglasses.
Obviously, at the time, I pointed them out. Morgan bought them immediately. And then the next day realized, oh, I need some actual sunglasses.
Yeah, where do you buy sunglasses at 2 a.m.?
It's like a little convenience shop near where we're staying.
In the retirement village.
Yeah, they are.
You stayed in the retirement.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just a whole rack of them. It was funny. The next day, I remember putting them on and going, oh, God, Aaron, why did you make me buy these? They don't work at all. And Aaron kind of stared at me for a minute and I went, hang on. You didn't make me buy them at all. You just pointed at them and I'm like, I got to get these.
Well, that
it's completely my fault.
Phenomenal purchase.
Oh, it's don't worry
now
about this.
They're paying off.
Oh, don't worry. It's great.
Dividends.
I had them on yesterday. I had them on yesterday when I was driving and I was like, and I actually, it was quite dark and they just illuminated everything. They actually are pretty handy on like a gloomy day. Like
borderline night vision.
More or less. I can see why these old men wear it all the time. Mm. It just illuminates everything.
Mm. Just makes life better.
The other, for people who are following along at home, Stan Lee's.
Stan Lee's,
sort of made them his own.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you mind if I...
It would be my absolute pleasure for you to put them on.
Are these prescription? What did you pay for these?
$10.
$10's not so bad. Yeah. I thought it was maybe going to be $25.
No.
It's definitely different.
Yeah. Just leave them on for a little while.
It is very bright outside.
Yeah.
It's gloomy today, for sure.
And they illuminate
they
everything.
They really do brighten the... Scott, you want to try these?
Thing is, like, it kind of annoys me because now I completely shoots to pieces my argument about how they're useless. They're actually pretty...
I can get used to that.
This is an assault on my eyeballs. Wow.
I think they suit you the most, Scott.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but
it's definitely a compliment.
It's definitely.
You've got something to look forward to in your old age there,
just
Scott.
So you can really ease into this.
Yes. This actually does make life better.
And lastly,
that's better than virtual reality. Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Oh, yeah. This is the business.
That is the business.
They fit perfectly.
This is where the flavor is.
They just work on your face for whatever reason.
They are. They're shaped the beard perfectly. Perfectly.
They're not getting these back.
I feel like I'm made for you.
Just shoot over to Perth, grab me some more.
All right, better go. Oh, I've not seen them anywhere else, but that one. That's the only time I've ever seen these.
How much?
It was a 2 for $20 deal. And
that's
obviously right. You bought 12.
I bought
12 for 60.
Yeah, exactly. These things here are just worth a lot of money. So I'm going to try and wear them for most of this episode.
Let's see how we go.
And your life.
We're getting sidetracked. Let's jump into the first episode.
I think that's probably a good idea.
MacGyver kicks off at a secret underground lab in New Mexico where a visiting top-level British scientist, Marlowe, meets up with his American counterpart, Subbins, to talk shop and play chess. As they play, an explosion goes off, caving in the upper levels of the lab and causing the acid tanks to start leaking. There's only one man who can solve this pickle, MacGyver.
What other options do they have?
He gets there with less than 5 hours on the clock before the army comes in to burn out all the acid before it leaks into the state's water supply, killing any possible survivors in the process. So MacGyver's his way through the lab, thwarting some lasers with smoke and mirrors, and lifting a collapsed steel girder with a hose. He finds one of the scientist's assistants, Spencer, and they go looking for the missing men. They buy themselves some time by fixing the leaking acid tank with melted chocolate.
The acid will react with the sugar to form an elemental carbon and a thick gummy residue. It should be enough to clog up that rupture. Temporarily, at least.
When they find the scientists, MacGyver figures out that Subbins had set the bomb off himself, trying to kill he and Marlowe to stop their research from getting weaponized.
A weapon.
Subbins pulls a gun, accidentally shoots Spencer, and MacGyver wrestles it away from him. And with just seconds left, MacGyver sends a Morse code message to the surface to buy them time to escape. The episode ends with zero resolution to the scientist plotline and MacGyver planting one on Spencer.
I'd kiss you, MacGyver.
God, what a first episode. It ticks all the boxes.
I knew you'd love this one.
I was all about. I was all in. I've even got a note that says the stakes are so high, I'm all in. I wrote that down two nights ago. It's great.
It was everything that I wanted in a MacGyver episode, all wrapped into one 50-minute package.
It was a pretty good 50 minutes.
The cold opening, perfect.
That was great.
Scaling the cliff in some ridiculously
telling a story.
Typical beanie.
Here's a question though. What country is he in?
Central Asia.
He's in Central Asia.
Central Asia in what is clearly the Grand Canyon.
So he's rescuing a prisoner of war and defusing
I don't think he knew that there was. He's like, no one told me that the pilot.
Oh, yeah, he's just there to defuse the warhead.
He's hanging in a jungle cage.
Then he parachutes off this rocky totem pole that. The parachute falling scene goes for 12 seconds. He must be 2 km in the air. Oh, he's so high up.
First of all, there were two ridiculous contraptions that he created in the first 5 minutes that I really need to talk about. So first of all, he's defusing the missile, so that's why he's going there. He's got this amazing toolkit for everything he needs to defuse the missile, and then when the countdown timer starts, he doesn't have anything to stop it, so he's going to get a paperclip.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he has paperclips with him. Why do you bring the paperclips?
But why does he not have a tool for that when he's got a tool for everything else?
Well, he has got a tool.
It's a paperclip.
He likes to.
It's a smaller form factor.
Yeah, he's got this weird little
simplicity,
a little wide flat screwdriver thing that he puts in and pulls out this special little plate. And then the other thing I was going to say is, why do missiles automatically self-destruct when there's any sort of tampering? Surely that's a hazard. If you're working in a missile factory and you accidentally turn it on. And you bump something and it falls
out.
You got
30
seconds and then it blows up.
But if it's going to be diffused, you'd rather it explode than not.
Would you?
If somebody tries to steal militia,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, MacGyver getting away scot-free to go just diffuse another missile.
Anyway, the second one was at the start, there's a crash plane. And he grabs a flare gun out of it. I'm like, okay, well, he might shoot it at someone. No, he uses it to propel himself off the cliff so he can parachute. By jamming the thing shut. I don't know why he does that.
Create so more pressure.
The flare goes off in there. And
Why
not just bring something that does that? If he knew that he was going to have to parachute. Oh, my God. Come on, MacGyver.
Because he didn't know that there was going to be a guy up there.
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter.
It was probably too much weight, so I needed the extra. Okay.
All right. Yeah. You guys are suspending your disbelief a little more than I am. Why does he grab the gun as well? He's got a gun at that point. I thought he was... against
No, just to blend
he's
in.
He's not Batman.
Yeah,
that's right. And he's drinking picks up the coffee, he's drinking it.
Just blending in.
No, I'm not. So I did a little more research than I perhaps should have. But apparently the reason he doesn't use guns is there was a horrible, there's some sort of horrible accident when he was a child and someone got shot and he's vowed to never use a gun.
And his parents got shot.
I don't know, one of his friends or something?
MacGyver or Richard Dean Anderson?
Richard Dean Anderson. They're the same person.
Yeah, he's not playing a character.
Do you think RDA could have been Batman?
Michael Keaton's Batman.
Is a very good. I think Michael Keaton's a very underrated Batman. For the record, I think people overlook
Val Kilmer.
Keaton was better than Kilmer.
That's what I mean. RDA could have stepped in.
Yeah,
I think an RDA would have been a great Batman. I think he ticks,
still could.
Ticks a lot of boxes.
He could still do it.
It's never too late.
I think he's nearly 70 now.
Don't you want to see Batman with a giant mullet?
All right, I'm back in.
Is he really almost 70?
Yeah, he's only 70.
Wow.
I think he's retired actually from acting now.
I respect. He's just full time.
You're not allowed to do that.
You've got two massive syndicated shows like MacGyver and Stargate. You can just sort of sit back and let the checks roll in.
Either of those massively syndicated?
Well, they're both
Morgan. Continually buys the Stargate DVDs.
Exactly. That's enough money to keep you.
He's got the subscription service.
Exactly. Yeah. He basically has my salary just rolling straight into the bank.
Sends you a new season every month. There's only what?
As long as I'm. Have you ever seen that movie Brigsby Bear?
I'm aware of it.
Yeah, okay. That this joke won't make sense, so don't worry. I'll just leave it there.
That's a very obscure movie.
If listener, you have seen that movie that Morgan's talking about, write in, and then Morgan will send you out the joke.
I've seen the trailer. The premise is it's about the...
Write it in a letter.
It's about a guy who's kidnapped by these two people when he's young, and the father of the father kidnapper, he makes a TV series called Bigsby Bear. He makes it for him, and then the police find them, and the show just stops running, so then he has to go back and recreate this show. What I'm trying to say is
why
Richard Dean Anderson was
surely it would be traumatic.
What's the tone of this?
It's very obscure. It's quite good. It's got
like
good.
Genre drama.
Yeah. No, it's like a comedy drama.
Okay.
Sounds interesting.
It's quite
dramedy, Morgan.
Dramedy. Anyway,
I'm gonna have a look.
My point is that Richard Dean Anderson's just been making TV shows for me since I was a little boy.
Okay.
that's what his life's work's been.
That's a good joke.
Thank you.
So
roundabout way doing it, but we're there.
So the most MacGyver-y moments in this.
Yeah.
He got out the cigarettes to create a smoke screen for the lasers.
Oh, so before he pinches the whole pack from that guy.
Yeah. That's a real power play.
Take the pack, why don't you? You want my letter too?
No, thanks. Carry my own matches.
I actually wrote a note about this. This is he takes the whole pack of smokes. It's like, oh, you got a spare cigarette? Yeah. Takes the whole packet. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. The guy's like, what? Just lets him take it. He does not explain why he needs it. Just takes it.
It's such a pushover.
The thing is that I wrote down is I think it's a spite move because he's the guy who walks up and goes, oh, is this the screwball that wants to go under there?
Yeah, fuck you, man.
Take your cigarette.
You know what?
The guy's still smoking in every scene though, so he's got another packet.
Yeah, he's probably got a carton just sitting in his office.
Yeah.
Just flavor country, just has two at a time.
The 80s, so 10
at a time. He's got two at a time. MacGyver's got three at a time just to one-up him.
More power plays. MacGyver wouldn't smoke. Not with a physique. No. You don't get a physique like that.
You could see how much he wasn't enjoying it.
Temple.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, oh, God. Ugh.
But he had to do it to so he could see all the lasers on the security.
That's a big space to...
He creates an outrageously large amount of smoke.
Yeah.
An outrageously large amount of smoke.
We're talking like 15 meters cubed or something. Like
to fill with cigarettes, mate.
It's a lot. So
about three cigarettes worth of smoke to cover.
roughly.
Very dense. I tell you what, there was a very... That whole cigarette scene, though, is a very good opportunity for marketing in there. MacGyver brand cigarettes, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That could have made me start smoking.
Yeah.
Their own brand.
It's not too late.
No, I know. I'm going to do that. MacGyver brand cigarettes.
Did you guys notice there were two important names in the credits for both episodes? Oh, no. One was just for the first episode.
I did not.
Executive producer... Henry Winkler.
Yes. I wrote that down at the end. I noticed that. Yeah. Henry Winkler was
I checked out his IMDb. He's been pushing MacGyver hard for years. He's an executive producer on the rebooted franchise and on a 2003 telemovie called Young MacGyver, where MacGyver's nephew tries to follow in his footsteps. And he's played by Jared Padalecki.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Young MacGyver. Check it out.
I'm gonna watch the covers. I'm gonna watch the shit out of that.
Mm. I was kind of hoping you'd say Donald P. Belisario, but Henry Winkler is Henry the next Winkler. Best thing.
He obviously believed in it so much that he
would have had to.
Still trying to get it to make it big. I guess it was probably big in the 80s.
Yeah.
I'd imagine so. Yeah.
And it's pretty. It's also pretty iconic. Like it's one of those shows that's referenced in a lot of other shows.
Yep.
The other name. Was the director of the first episode, Alan Smithy. Do you guys know about Alan Smithy?
Don't know Alan Smithy.
Rings a bell.
So it's a bit of a film thing. It's when you perform some sort of role on a film and you don't want your name associated with that film, you give the credit to Alan Smithy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah.
So it's like it's a thing. So the person who directed it...
Didn't want to be attached to the show.
They're now... I've can't remember what their name is, but they're listed on IMDb. But yeah, at the time when they directed the pilot, they had like a 90-minute version and then it got cut down to 45 minutes for TV and they were outraged.
Oh, so really? Like,
no, don't give me a credit.
Oh, wow.
Put it as Alan Smithy. And then apparently they tried to not pay him because he didn't have a credit.
Oh, wow.
And then the Directors Guild got involved and were like, no, you can't do that.
I wouldn't expect there to be too many Alan Smithies as directors.
No. Usually it's just like if somebody...
Grip or something?
Yeah. Or it's like somebody works on a film that they don't want to be associated with. Like it's
David
in really poor taste.
Dick stunt double.
Yeah.
How many times has Samuel L. Jackson appeared as Alan Smithy on the...
Who knows?
Thousand odd movies.
Maybe those ones are harder to conceal.
Alan Smithy.
Maybe, maybe.
Just put yourself down as Sam Jackson.
Or Danny Trejo.
So if you don't want to be recognized on this podcast, just change your name to Alan Smithy.
One thing I also want to point to, I talk about in that episode was that scene where they go to walk through the like that just random set of doors. Like, oh, it's just in through here. He goes, wait. And he grabs the girl and then he goes, gets a stick and then pokes the door and the thing catches on fire. Those sets of doors must have been like a million degrees.
It was so hot.
Like for
hey, a piece it was of like a broomstick or something?
Yeah, a touch to catch on fire.
And it just kept burning.
Yeah. Oh, it must have been all the way. Like, it was like liquid molten.
You could not walk up and not know that it was.
It would be hot as shit down there.
Yeah. Surely a better test would be like splashing some water on it or something. Well, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know more than MacGyver.
Yeah, exactly.
He nailed it. Saved the girl.
He got the job done.
The other thing he nailed was sealing up the leaking acid tank
with chocolate.
With chocolate.
Yes.
Yeah. He picks up earlier. I like how everything he does, you know.
That's why he has the bag.
You know, it's going to take a lot more than you can carry in that knapsack to get you through all this.
Well, the bag's not for what I take, Colton. It's for what I find along the way.
That might have been the best quote.
Yeah. It's just one of those classic science mumbo-jumbo lines where he just rambles out about the molecular structure of chocolate.
Yeah, they just ran through it.
That is still way more believable than the one from Smallville.
The electrolytes.
You've been in a coma for 12 years. They say you suffered from massive electrolyte imbalance.
That's why he hasn't aged a day.
What? There was one set, there's a couple of sections where like he pulls off like the control panel and there's just all those wires.
Yeah,
I just think that that MacGruber captures it perfectly when he pulled it off because he just looks at it like so comfortably and just works out how to get all this shit open. Whereas like in MacGruber, he opens like the panel of the missile and all the wires come in. He's like, what the hell? It's like a million wires in here. More like a three-wire kind of guy.
So that was that when it was hot wiring the
doors,
the air vent?
Yeah, the air vent.
Yeah.
And he just works it out. It's like, there's just no way.
Yeah,
like,
all the wires, look exactly the same.
Pretty sure if you break one of the wires, it's probably not going to work. It's not just going to spark up and everything starts running as it's meant to.
95% of what you could do to that would just break it.
Exactly.
nothing would happen. It would just, that's the thing. It just would stop working. Broken. Yeah, exactly. Now it's completely unusable. Well done. It's like when they're trying to like in movies and they're trying to like lock doors and they shoot the control panel and the door or that opens the door. It's like bullshit.
So those scientists, they were working on some secret research that the government was going to take and turn into like
a doomsday device
where they were going to basically get rid of the ozone layer.
Yeah. Because that's what we'd want to do.
Obviously.
Yeah.
That's how the US beats the rest of the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm taking
you with me.
So surely there's a better way to sabotage his own research than just blow up the whole lab.
Killing
him
himself
in
and the other
just
scientists.
Just do bad work.
Yeah, exactly.
Like just
tank the research.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much easier.
But they really provided no resolution to that storyline.
Not at all.
So they find the scientists and then the one that tried to kill them all at the start, he whips out a gun, accidentally shoots Spencer.
Yeah.
And then the last like 3 minutes of the episode is just RDA rescuing Spencer. And we do not see the scientist again. Yeah. And you don't hear anything
about
it.
I think they sort of just get pardoned.
I guess.
Yeah. And how does he... He Morse codes a light. So the military, to stop this, the acid leaking into the Rio Grande or whatever.
Yeah.
Are going to shoot a missile underground, but it's just like a giant missile aimed at the ground.
It's insane. It's completely insane.
And then he flashes the lights in the lab. there's like a scientist in the back who's just like an extra who immediately picks up that it's Morse code, even though the whole place is falling to bits. It's like, I got it. And then what does he say? Did anyone write down what he...
No, it's like...
Somebody tell me what's going on.
Morse code, sir. What's it saying? All safe, Matt.
How are they going to solve the problem by just aiming a missile at the ground?
it doesn't make sense.
And now there's just a doomsday device floating about. The government just has the ability to remove
it. They don't talk about that at all.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Happy ending.
Not to jump ahead too much, but it's a very similar feel for the final episode as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a lot of unresolved. A lot ends up unresolved.
He goes there, gets the job about 60% done. All right. I wasn't being paid here to save the world, just to save the scientists and plug a hole.
Yeah, and get the girl.
It's basically just to rescue the people.
Exactly. He's a subcontractor. They're not paying him a fortune.
A tied up fire hose.
Yeah.
How much do you think he gets paid?
He could get blank checks.
Yeah. Command,
just
whatever.
Blank check.
The guy lives in an observatory. He's got a bit of money.
He bought an observatory. It looks like, what's the famous one in LA?
I don't know, but I know the one you're referring to.
Yeah, it looks like that. He just bought that to live in as a just to flex on the government.
And run his bigger brother operation out of.
To get dunked on by
I would,
10-year-old. Yeah, that final scene, just getting dunked on by a 10-year-old kid.
Yeah.
I have a question. Does he have a first name?
He does.
He does. I believe it's not revealed until maybe probably the last season, I think, is what I read. But they make a note of not saying what his first name is. I think originally when they like wrote the pilot.
Mac MacGyver?
No, that's just a nickname. I think originally when they wrote the pilot, his first name was Stacy. But then they changed that.
Good.
And then I think in season 7 they decided that his name was Angus.
Angus MacGyver.
Angus MacGyver.
Oh, yeah.
On IMDb, it just says MacGyver, so.
Yeah.
I assume it was MacGyver MacGyver.
Like, Mac MacGyver?
Yeah. No, MacGyver MacGyver. Like, his full name's MacGyver.
His last name's Mac Guyver.
McDonald Guyver.
MacGyver. Yeah. They just say it really quickly. Yeah.
MacGyver. Yeah.
There's a good, like, 6 or 7 contraptions that he makes along the way, which is really sort of got me hot under the collar.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a good way.
Fuming under the collar.
Because I would have been annoyed because, you know, everything you know about the show is that he gets a paperclip and makes some stupid thing out of it. But he does that like straight away.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you'd have to wait around to like, you know, the 4th or 5th episode for him to do something like that. But it's the whole time.
They knew what they were doing the whole time. Yeah.
The whole show is just based around his like ingenious ways to get out of situations. It's a perfect premise.
And you're spot on, Morgan, as well, saying that's Central Asian country is obviously just... The Grand Canyon.
It's clearly the Grand Canyon.
And the rest of the episode set in New Mexico.
Yeah.
So they obviously just did the whole thing there and just tacked on the the title saying Central Asia.
Like, I'm not falling for that.
One of my favorite things MacGyver does is when he's like whipping out all these weird, odd items about to do something and everyone's like, what are you doing? Why do you have binoculars? He always has like a great metaphor, just throws out an awesome line. Like when he's reflecting the laser, he's like, ever seen a scorpion sting itself to death and just blows up the laser system?
Yeah, yeah.
He's got some serious...
He only brings things that he has like little zingers for.
No. He's got a book of zingers. That's all he's got in the knapsack.
Yeah. Okay.
Just when he rifles through the pages looking for one perfect situation.
All right, I can use this. Like if he finds something like... That's probably why he's never used a gun because like he just has not got a good zinger for it. Like, this could be so handy. He does it... There are some excellent one-liners in this show. Like he whips them out. He's firing from the hip all show. It's great.
Do you guys like when they're giving him the microphone for him to go down to rescue people? They're like,
that mic is voice activated. All you've got to do is talk. We'll be listening.
So a microphone.
Microphone.
So just talk into it.
Yeah, and then what is he? He hears one of them.
One
of the guys doing something.
Drinking water.
Oh, yeah, and he's like, water.
It's the flimsiest little prompts.
Yeah, and then, yeah.
It was me, Mac, just taking a sip of water. Water.
And the same thing at the end, when Spencer's been shot and they like have 2 minutes before the army blows up the whole place, she says something about power.
You did everything in your power, Mac.
Spencer, you're a genius.
Oh, power, you've got it. And then runs off to find the switchboard and does the Morse code thing with the lights.
So that's like, at least 3 epiphanies in the first episode.
Like he's just like never actually thinking about how to solve the problem.
No, he's just off in his own world.
Morgan's just kicking over.
Thinking of zingers.
Thinking of zingers. He's just a joke writer.
The chocolate somehow related zinger.
Oh, man, how am I going to do this one?
Nah, forget it.
That probably wraps us up for the pilot of MacGyver. Let's hop into the finale.
The final episode begins with MacGyver dropping into Asia via parachute in order to extract an old acquaintance, Jack Dalton. Jack, it turns out, is attempting to acquire some water from a magical fountain of youth in order to test its properties back in America.
Mac, there's something in the water that makes people live longer. We gotta take back samples.
With the assistance of a local, Mukti, and the blessing of a local mystic leader, Baba, the three discover an H-bomb manufacturing plant run by an army general who has enlisted the help of a rogue Chinese scientist. Jack reveals that he's actually been enlisted by a company to try and commercialize the water with its youthful effects. Shortly after, Baba takes a bullet to the arm and puts all of his faith in Mac.
MacGyver is enlightened. He understands.
Through some fairly light MacGyvering, they steal a videotape from the plant as evidence and escape. On the way out, Jack tips out the last of the magical water demonstrating that he actually does have a conscience.
You don't mess with perfection, Mac. Bad karma.
And that's it for MacGyver.
I liked your use of light MacGyvering.
It was light MacGyvering.
It was very light touch MacGyvering all through this episode. Like, I think the most inventive thing he does is like drops the little tracking device into the stream and follows it. But not even that. Or they use a ladder as a battering ram.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty basic.
It's about as full on as he gets. Or he like
2 out of 10 MacGyvering.
Hides his parachute with a jacket and like stuffs it in the bushes.
Yeah. That scene goes for far too long. That's the longest shot. It's like a 20-second shot of him
trying to condense
this parachute.
And my girlfriend was like, why do they need to show all of this?
That's like glorifying it, all right?
Bundling up a sleeping bag, basically.
This is how it really is.
I think that last episode was more about his hair than it was MacGyvering. I think that's probably why the show started to wrap up, is that it became more about hair than it became about MacGyvering.
They lost the vision.
I think so.
Winkler was just not happy with it.
No, it's not what he signed up for.
The hair was outshining his.
I think in the first episode, RDA looked quite good. I don't think he looked quite 35 then, but in the last episode, he definitely looked 42.
Yeah,
he did.
I matured.
It did.
All that MacGyvering takes it out of you.
Yeah, that's why sort of not much left in the tank in terms of MacGyvering.
Did you guys notice the tasty cameo from one of our TIS favorite shows?
Yes, I did.
Mm. Was it one of the henchmen?
No, it was not.
Who was it?
It was Jack the guy Dalton. He goes...
Oh, yeah. Who's
he was Al the bartender in Quantum Leap.
Oh, he was too.
Bruce McGill. Mm. He's turning up a lot in a lot of the shows we're doing.
Yeah, what else was he 90s? In?
He was in another one, I can't remember which.
I reckon I would put a fair bit of money on him being in at least one AT episode. Let's have a look.
Oh, for sure.
Where do you think this one was filmed? Because I noticed there were gum trees in the background.
Obviously, there are some gum trees in California, I think.
Yes, there are. It was. I will say as well. The ethnicities of all the characters are very, very ambiguous. I don't know. Yeah.
They're like the twin. I didn't cover this in the summary, but like the twins. Mukti, and she's like, oh, it's my twin brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like Asian and he's Hispanic.
He's Central American.
She's lightly Asian.
But they're all sort of like...
Even, I think she just kind of looks European.
Yeah.
Baba's like got a lot of makeup on, the guy who plays the sort of the mystic leader.
Yeah.
And then his right-hand man is just some white dude who they fake tanned to the absolute shitter. And I've just got no idea what the temple, and all the accents are just
the temple's very Chinese, and like it opens with like a Confucian saying, and
a resourceful man will come.
They're just like it's made up this country that's sort of pulling traits from all different.
Yeah, it's like
that's what paradise looks like. You know, it might not be what you want it to be.
Yeah.
Might hurt to see it. You know, might be hard to digest, but that's what it is. Right?
I can tell you actually a little bit of sad. I was IMDb-ing. I just sort of was like going through some of the actors on there. The woman that played Mukti, she actually died at not like at 46. Died quite young.
Mm. Oh,
very sad.
Ironic.
Actually, it is a little bit, isn't it? Yeah. Well, she's going to be 42 in that episode.
Yeah.
Mm. Which, like, she doesn't look that far off 42.
Yeah, not that impressive.
Like,
does look like half the age of her brother.
Yeah, I guess.
He's very weathered.
He doesn't look 42.
Maybe he's just had a hard 42 years.
That's because they are not twins.
He's been leading a militia.
Yeah, he's a military man.
And she's just hanging out with Bubba.
Yeah.
Mm.
Drinking water all day. Like a goddamn king.
I did when I was watching that though. There's like things that come up on the internet on Facebook. It's like the
pop ups.
Yeah, it's like the male teacher starter pack, and it's like a shaved bald head, tie, and like a Nissan whatever. Anyway, came up with the
no.
You've never seen those like the starter packs? No. That's great. No. It's like it's just like four pictures or something. It's like the starter pack for something. But the starter pack I came up with, the MacGyver starter pack, was a mullet, cargo pants, matches, paperclip.
That's really all you need.
That's all you need.
No, he's usually got like some sort of utility vest or jacket as well.
Does he?
Which he doesn't.
Yeah, I think so.
He didn't have him in either episode.
Yeah, he uses his jacket in the first one to like stop the No, to make it's more of like a flannel shirt. You're right.
Yeah.
To make like masks, respirator.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You might notice that I'm wearing my vest.
Yeah, you are.
How are you going to use it? How are you going to use it before the end of the episode?
I don't know what I'm going to. Well, the situation hasn't presented itself yet.
Right.
So. Don't forget to fuse Scott's soundboard.
Oh yeah.
Hotwire your laptop.
Don't forget the satchel. Satchel's got to be in the starter pack.
That's
Morgan carries it around to steal things along the way.
Exactly. He didn't have the satchel in the last episode.
Yeah, but he probably had it in every single other episode.
Yeah, it looked very formal in the last episode.
Yeah, he had the shirt button all the way up to the top. I was more of a fan of Casual MacGyver from episode one.
Yeah.
Casual MacGyver's a good MacGyver.
Yeah.
So the plot of this episode, did he know what he was? Was he just going there to rescue this guy?
Yeah, I think so.
He had absolutely no idea what he was.
Yeah, he was just trying to extract him, which like his...
Just land the helicopter. So he crashed out of something.
He has to get him out.
So he crashed the plane at the start. Is that right?
Jack did.
Yeah. Well, I guess he crashed the plane and he's stuck there. But like the plane's in a million pieces.
Yeah. He did well.
And he's just fine.
Yeah. Not a mark on him. Like his pants are crisply ironed.
And he's so chipper.
Yeah.
He's so just jazzed about everything.
Well, I love this place.
You came for me.
Oh, thank God. You're all right?
Yeah,
Nothing's broken?
No, I'm fine.
Oh, great. Now I can break your
head. Hey, amigo, what's got into you?
So as soon as he lands, he's like, no, we can't go to the Fountain of Youth. The helicopter's coming in 4 hours.
Yeah.
Did you parachute out of the helicopter? Why didn't it just land?
Why aren't you still with the helicopter?
I guess maybe they're giving him time to sort of track him down.
Yeah.
He
should definitely be presumed dead because...
you're missing the point though. 4 hours? He did all that in 4 hours.
Yeah, he did a lot in 4 hours.
The man is all like... And in the first episode, it's like he's got like 5 hours.
H-bomb, yeah.
Yeah, the man is like... He's on the clock all the time.
How are they building an H-bomb there? That's a big operation.
Yeah, I don't know.
And nobody knew about it either. Like,
all you need is water from the Fountain of Youth and a Chinese scientist and you got yourself an H-bomb.
I was wondering how to do it.
Yeah, that's how.
The guy who plays the scientist, I actually saw him. I've been rewatching season one of How I Met Your Mother. He's Korean Elvis in that.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's right. He's in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he's just like I think he's in heaps of stuff.
How versatile.
You can play Chinese person, Korean person.
It's got a 7.8 on IMDb.
That's unnecessarily high.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, it wasn't like a train wreck. It just was pretty blah. It was just like it was one of the episodes you expect to catch in the middle.
The MacGyvering, like one of the things he does is him and Jack like throw rocks at other rocks to distract the guards.
Yeah, it is very light MacGyvering.
It's
very
give me like a hard and high or something and they throw rocks and they're just... The stupid henchmen just run off to investigate the rocks.
Like
and
a couple
of
pit bulls.
And then they just go through the gate into the H-bomb facility by just like opening the gate. It's not even locked. It's walking.
Yeah.
There's only two guards?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always a very disproportionate number of guards in the places that are very critical. Like just like one guy guarding the tent in the first episode.
Yeah.
There's
a whole platoon warhead. On the other side there. Like, we don't need to guard the warhead. We're just here to hang out.
Yeah.
And chill. In the last episode, there was one guy guarding the pump station as well.
Yeah.
The guy's walking back and forth and then you can sort of tell what's happening. He walks up to the edge and you see the guy's fist come around the corner and knock him out. Classic Gruber.
Despite the lack of henchmen, they did still get captured and they chucked MacGyver in a cell. But luckily, it was a cell with the fuse box to open the door.
On the inside. Yeah. Just put it on the outside.
And is there a fuse box in every single rubber one? Stop that you can roll in to stop the door from closing completely.
Very convenient.
Idiots. Do they know anything about him?
Yeah.
Do they have a file on this guy? Don't leave him with a fuse box.
It's goddamn MacGyver.
That's all he needs.
Just a fuse box and a rubber stamp, and that's he's breaking out of jail.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't turn that into some sort of flying machine to get them home.
He's a regular Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, he is. Hot wire the door into some sort of magic carpet.
If anyone could do it.
Yeah, it's MacGyver. I'd back him. Do you reckon there was any other sort of
borderline... Richard Dean Anderson?
No, like
looking old?
Maybe. Well, it's definitely that.
Hey.
Other borderline...
Richard Dean Anderson alone.
Borderline supernatural elements to the show?
Yes, definitely.
You reckon?
I distinctly remember watching one with my mum.
Mrs.
Dean Anderson. Oh, God, I wish Mum married Richard Dean Anderson.
Morgan Dean Anderson.
It's never too late.
Still time.
Still time.
Go back in time. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I watched one where I can't remember. He's like just out like hiking in, the North America somewhere. And he's like walking along and he's...
You mean Central Asia.
Yeah.
Sorry, Central Asia. Yeah. And he sees like a ship out, like out in this river. And he's like, oh, what's it doing all the way out here? And he gets, you know, MacGyver's like a some sort of like canoe, gets out there, and there's like a Bigfoot that's attacked the boat. So he has to fight like a Bigfoot.
No way.
Yeah. I didn't watch. I can't remember the whole episode. It's so vague. Like, it's probably not. I don't know whether it ends up being a Bigfoot, but I remember he's walking around the ship and there's huge like handprints everywhere. And he's like, what the
hell? There is a video on YouTube called MacGyver v Bigfoot.
So. I knew it existed. Oh, well, that's definitely going up online. That is brilliant.
That's going up.
We're going to watch the shit out of that.
I hope that's the title of the episode. Everybody knows what's going on.
No, it's called Ghost Ship.
Ghost Ship, yes. Yeah. Okay,
all right. Like so they do dabble in the supernatural.
Because I just seem to remember that and I had nightmares about it after that. And then we didn't watch MacGyver for a little while. It's too scary.
Where Richard Dean Anderson's going to come save you from a Bigfoot.
If anyone can save me from Sasquatch, it's going to be Richard Dean Anderson.
So we're going to... across both episodes, talk about some of his catchphrases, perhaps. Because not only does he not use guns, he doesn't use aggressive words either. He tries to, PG, he's swearing.
Yeah, it's a very wholesome man.
Gosh darn it.
Yeah, gosh darn it. He's told Jack to cut the baloney in the last episode.
Cut the baloney, Jack.
What sort of 42-year-old man tells someone to cut the baloney?
Right, it's PG. Yeah,
it's not commanding any respect.
To be fair, Jack was full of baloney.
He was. Yeah. He did need to cut it. I see where he was coming from. Yeah. But
there was only, we watched the PG episodes, like the Bigfoot episode, I'm pretty sure it was rated R. Swearing galore.
Yeah.
Super violent.
Does he climb inside Bigfoot like a tauntaun to survive the.
He has to cut Bigfoot.
The ravages of the night.
Mm. No? He becomes Bigfoot.
He wears him like a skin suit.
Yeah.
Okay.
You ever seen Freddy Got Fingered when he puts inside the animals?
That episode was more just like The Revenant.
That's what they based The Revenant on, that episode.
It's a lost episode of MacGyver.
Yeah, exactly. Rated R, swearing galore, super violent. Some pretty graphic sex scenes as well at the start.
And
full
Richard,
penetration.
Richard Dean Anderson.
Full penetration. Fighting crime. Full penetration. Fighting crime.
And he won an Oscar for it.
Yeah, we show it all.
Yeah, he'd been stunned for decades.
Finally got the Oscar.
Finally got it. How many MacGyverings do you think is like the most that you could get into an episode?
Do you reckon they had a quota?
I reckon, well, somebody's counting.
It would have been.
We'd be like, well, we can't really do more than six.
Do you reckon they had staff? It was like...
Like an engineer.
Like a Bear Grylls.
Surely there would have had to have been.
Mm.
One would think.
So he just brings in a few things from home. He's like, use this. Here's what you can do.
You've got to have at least...
I got a half-eaten candy bar.
It's like a Mad Lib way to write an episode.
I'd say they need at least three because you got to give the people what they want. But you can't. Yeah. You're right. I reckon if you get between like 8 and 10, that's pushing into dangerous territory.
Yeah. Mm. That's overkill.
Well, so it's all MacGyvering.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just MacGyver.
I mean, that's what the people want. You might as well just do it. I would break my clip show rule to watch a clip show of MacGyvers.
Yeah.
Somebody's definitely put together...
a YouTube compilation.
Something
of every
top 10.
One.
Yeah. Well, maybe not every single one, but why not? Top 10.
Maybe I could.
You could if you want to spend...
Dedicate my life to something.
Putting together a video that's going to go for 6 hours, then sure. I'll watch it.
You'll watch it.
I'll watch it.
I'll watch it.
There are some great articles of just the best MacGyver inventions.
Oh, really?
I got some good combos.
All right, what do we got?
We got a blood pressure pump plus alarm clock equals lie detector.
Wait, no. Give us the things and we'll... give us the items and we'll try and guess.
We'll figure out what they are.
Yeah.
All right, a muffler, a gear shift knob, seat cushion stuffing, and a cigarette lighter.
Like some sort of... Does he shoot the gear stick knob? Like some sort of little cannon thing?
It's a big... It's a bazooka.
Oh, you mean a bazooka? Oh,
wow. Yeah.
Oh.
No, so he won't use a gun.
well, this one is pretty low tech. Duct tape and plastic mats.
All right.
Some sort of
shielding, yeah, to like...
Floating device?
Run through
just
a...
Just boots.
Boots.
Oh, just boots.
This is the photo of him with duct tape around his feet.
Brilliant.
Walking through the mud.
Through mud?
Oh, yeah.
Just walk through the mud.
Well, he's probably wearing nice shoes. So.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't always need to use it.
That's the thing. It's like if you've got the power, you're going to use it. Well, I may as well MacGyver my way out of wrecking these shoes.
Yeah.
Mm. Last one, we've got jumper cables, generator, and two quarters.
There's some sort of explosive device, surely, with that much power.
Not quite. A welder.
Heat the coins up?
Oh, yeah, he's like heating the coins and like rolling it across a thing and it like
cuts the...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I like that one. I'm going to use that one.
There is one. There's a getaway and I remember it now and I've just looked it up on YouTube. He makes he's in a coffin and it's a coffin that he's fashioned to a jet ski. I don't think he turns it into like a jet ski like as he's doing it. I just remember it like
a body still in it.
I just remember this because there's this little bits and pieces I remember watching the show and like I just remember like he's in a coffin, they throw him like over into the water and it's like starting to sink and he's like and then just gets away on the jet ski. It's amazing. Like there's some awesome shit happens in this show.
Wow, it's
completely insane.
Yeah, that clip show would be. Terrific.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
I'd watch it for that. The coffin jet ski alone.
But yeah, no, I thoroughly enjoyed this first episode and yeah, the second one was okay. It wasn't great, but it was watchable. We've watched a lot worse, like dinosaurs.
Do you think we could...
disagree with that.
I disagree with that.
It's time for us to perhaps try and make this show a little better.
If it's possible.
If it's possible.
Let's give it a crack.
Scott, do you want to take us away with a reboot?
I'd love to. I had a couple of ideas, both sort of kind of half-baked, unfortunately. So maybe I'll just give them both and they'll add up to be...
Full-baked reboot.
Fully baked
Frankenstein,
reboot.
Frankenstein, half-baked.
Yeah. So the first one that I wanted to do is to turn MacGyver into some sort of like obstacle course or escape room. Where you have to kind of
escape rooms are all the rage.
Yeah. So you like... Start off maybe it's based off like an episode you start off in like one room and you got to go through like crawl through the gas chamber of the whatever and try and you get little clues to try and people give you prompts along the way and say water and you go water right and you just have to make your way through so maybe you pay $50 or something, spend an afternoon.
I would absolutely do that. That would be great.
Yeah, I'd get around that. Best $50 I've ever spent.
Yeah. And my other idea to reboot this was... one thing that I didn't like about MacGyver was just that he was too good. Like, he's too nice.
Okay.
He's just kind of like, he's very wholesome.
Yeah.
It's just nothing. I haven't seen the episode where he guts Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Slips inside his corpse.
Brutal. But yeah, just sort of like too nice of a character. He's like, doesn't have a bad bone in his body. So I thought maybe we could flip it around, go in the opposite direction and have Angus MacGyver as some sort of like ingenious serial killer where he's like got a, it's sort of like, I guess the format of this would be like a game, maybe like a point and click sort of game, but kind of like Hitman where he's got to like, kill people.
Find
really inventive ways to do it.
Don't take any weapons with you.
Yeah.
Making everything look like an accident.
Just playing your way through it. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We never know. I mean, MacGyver could have been like a secret serial killer and we'd just never know because he's so good at it.
It's just at night, like a night spin-off. Mm. Yeah, this could work.
MacGyver Nights.
MacGyver Nights, yeah.
So I also had two ideas and they're both quite similar to yours.
Oh, here we go.
One was just the thought of some kind of MacGyver saw crossover, which is kind of like him as a serial killer. He could have all these little saw type traps where the only way to get out is to,
just MacGyver your way out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cut off your...
Actually, that would be interesting.
Cut off your arm with a paperclip.
MacGyver v. Jigsaw.
Oh, cut off your arm with a paperclip. So long.
MacGyver v. Jigsaw. From,
it's like Freddy versus Jason.
MacGyver v. Jigsaw.
Jigsaw. I can see it happening.
It would be pretty good because Jigsaw would just be losing his mind. He'd have all these elaborate traps and MacGyver just gets out of every time. Like, what? It's taking me years to come up with these ideas. He solves it in one day.
Water.
That's a sketch idea. Water.
MacGyver v. Jigsaw.
The other one, like your escape room idea, would be just seeing how regular people go with MacGyvering. So like a reality type show where a bunch of people are put in an island or just like an industrial estate where they have to...
Central Asia, that's what you mean.
Central Asia. Yeah. Get out of all these MacGyver-like traps. So week by week, someone would be eliminated. And that is obviously the Survivor MacGyver edition.
MacGyver.
I've watched that.
Survivor MacGyver.
Yeah.
Sign up to it.
Hosted by Richard Dean Anderson.
Of course.
Oh, I'd watch the shit out of that too.
How do you reckon you guys would go?
Poorly. Very poorly.
I'm really not. I'm not wired that way.
Would they work an elevator shaft with like a pack of gum and a viewfinder. Yeah.
Smoke as many cigarettes as possible.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's it.
One thing
you got until you pass out. Just sit down and smoke a full pack of take a cigarettes.
Hot box the elevator. Cigarette smoke.
Seemed like a good idea.
Yeah.
I have a very shallow reboot, but I was thinking my half-assed research took me to the corner of the internet that told me that there was some sort of traumatic incident as a child that made him not want to ever use guns.
Yeah.
What if the traumatic incident as a child was involved regular household items like rubber bands and paper clips?
Oh, no.
And made him never want to use those again.
Oh, no.
Pens, pencils. You know?
Oh, man.
So
all regular items.
All regular household items.
You can only use
extreme
items. You
can only ever use guns. and then rather than becoming a spy, he becomes just, you know, like an office worker. But... so, you know, instead of like paper clipping some paper together, it just like shoots a hole in it. And I don't know. It's just, yeah.
You're right. That is a very shallow idea.
Reverse MacGyver. Yeah,
it's probably not enough in that to make a movie, but you could probably.
Again,
a great sketch.
You get 2-3 minutes out of that.
Uses guns for everything.
We can really make the MacGyver sketch special here.
Yeah, so MacGyver.
Really like MacGyver Knights.
Yeah.
Or MacGyver vs. MacGyver vs. Jigsaw. I would watch.
I would love all these like really ominous, intense setups where it looks like someone's body's about to get ripped in half.
Yeah. And then but MacGyver just gets in there.
Oh gosh, darn it! All right, I guess I'll use this.
Just getting people out. Yeah. That would be the great conclusion to the Saw series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
MacGyver comes in, just defuses all his traps, and then just gets in there and, I don't know, that arrests him.
Yeah. Kind of like Survivor MacGyver.
Survivor
yeah.
MacGyver?
Yeah, for me, I'd watch that.
Yeah, I'm a Jigsaw, Jigsaw v. MacGyver.
Sigmiver.
No, I think Survivor MacGyver is fine. Clear. I don't think you need to combine those two words.
Winner gets a weekend away with Richard Dean Anderson.
Ooh. Morgan's in.
I'm in. Yeah. I'm all in.
Are you going to sign Heather up?
I'm going to send you my
Just try and set him up. Just call him Dad. Excuse me. Nothing. Oh, be careful not to scare him off.
The weekend away, you just invite him to a ball game and get him to do like a.
Just go play catch.
Yeah, throw the pigskin around in the park with you.
Yeah, you know.
Take your fishing.
Yeah, play a bit of two-hand touch.
Might come across Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Father-son mystery.
We'll go hiking up in the Rockies.
Yeah. Don't take a tent.
Okay. What?
You sleep in Bigfoot.
Of course, yeah. Well, we track down Bigfoot.
You could easily make that into a 4-person tent.
Oh, it's MacGyver.
Oh, you find a Bigfoot each.
Yeah.
That's my weekend away with Rick. It's just me going away for a weekend and trying to not fanboy too hard and just subtly call him Dad.
Is it a father son thing or is it a Brokeback Mountain?
Nah, it's a father son thing.
Okay.
Don't turn this into something else.
Okay.
Let's keep it wholesome.
Okay.
What's
wrong with Brokeback Mountain?
Nothing, it's fine, but it's
calling love between two men unwholesome?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Morgan wants from a father figure.
Exactly. I don't want dark and ominous. I just want my childhood hero.
Okay. All right.
I love him as a father. Although there is a note here in my list of things that says
what would a sexual experience with MacGyver be like?
I imagine.
Would he get
pretty inventive? Fashion a condom out of something?
Yeah. Duct tape and a plastic mat.
Tools.
Tools.
The penis boot.
Incorporate a lot of household objects into his lovemaking.
One of my notes was that Richard Dean Anderson was the first man who taught me I could love another man. It's one of my notes. So I do love Richard Dean Anderson.
That's wholesome.
Yeah. So, you know, it could go either way. It could be a father son thing. It could be a Brokeback Mountain thing. I'm not the two. You
just
know,
wait
I'm
and
not
find
married
out.
To either idea.
Make a vibrator out of like a Nokia 6210 and an old gumboot.
Hot wiring it.
Yeah. How's the gumboot fit in?
You need some rubber.
Okay. Not that inventive. I want something a little more inventive than that.
Well, I don't know. I'm not MacGyver. The woman from the first episode wouldn't know. He's got away with women. He won her over in like 12 minutes.
Do you think there's one? Do you think there's one in every episode?
Yeah, I think so.
Much like Baywatch Nights.
Yeah,
sort of deal.
And every other show.
Yeah, James Bond. Really,
it was in his contract.
All right. Well, that's I think reboots sort of tied up in my childhood fantasies.
Destroyed,
dissected, and explored. Let's go have a look at IMDb list of the week.
Sure thing. This week, we have a list from user Fenjiro. It's a simple list, short list. It's only 8 people. It's actors I've met. Now they all
or
have...
I'm going to meet.
That's your list.
Or so. Met in my dreams.
Met in my dreams.
They all have pretty short descriptions. It's kind of when they met them and where. But one of them they had a bad experience with. So
not Richard Dean Anderson.
I'll run through the list. Okay. Guess who the dud was. We got Kurt Russell, Harvey Keitel, Richard Dean Anderson, Gary Busey, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Dan Aykroyd, Bruce Willis, and Demi Moore. Who was the bad egg?
I'm going to go ahead and say...
Keitel?
I was thinking, I got my money on Aykroyd.
I'm going to go Demi Moore was the bad experience.
Okay. So I'll give you Keitel. That was the comment is, I met him in Malibu in 1991.
It sounds horrible.
A bad experience.
That sounds awful.
Mm. Who do you have, Scott?
Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd.
Scarred for life.
Yeah. I met him in 1995 at the intersection of Newbury Street and Massachusetts Avenue in front of Tower Records in Boston. That's all.
That's too specific.
Yeah. And you went Demi Moore, Morgan?
Yeah, Why don't you remember the intersection where you met Keitel in Malibu?
Couldn't tell us anything about the interaction, but the place.
Yeah.
Demi Moore was not the dud, but she was with the dud, Bruce Willis. They were there together.
That's right.
B-dub.
The comment for Bruce Willis, I met him in Westwood during the opening of Hudson Hawk in 1991.
Oh, bad movie.
He was with his ex-wife, Demi Moore. Of all the actors I've met, he's the one I dislike the most. I've stopped watching his movies since.
Whoa. This guy is holding a lot back. Like, yeah. I want to know what's going on in these interactions.
There's a story there.
Was he married to Demi Moore?
Yeah.
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 Oh, of course, because that's... Yeah.
The Ricky Gervais shot he takes at him at the Golden Globes.
What was it?
Oh, Ricky Gervais goes, Ashton Kutcher's... He's like leading him out and goes, Ashton Kutcher's dad, Bruce Willis. And Willis just walks out seething.
The comment for Richard Dean Anderson was just very modest guy.
Yeah, I like
picture that. I like that. Yeah.
Get on you.
That lives up.
RDA.
Yeah.
Just he's just getting higher and higher.
Yeah, he's just a real humble guy.
Yeah.
Open invitation to adopt Morgan.
Exactly. That's
going on right now.
That's finally a good
dare
story.
Dare I say,
you
real
should fill out the form,
father figure.
Sign everything and just send it to him. They're there for him to sign whenever
exactly.
He wants.
Whenever he wants, he can legally adopt
It's
me.
Up to him. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of nice, actually, coming across someone that I don't want to add to the standing invitation of fighting list. I mean, it's good. I feel like we can do father and son things, like fight John DeLancey.
Well, I mean, he is part of the bigger brother program.
This is true. Yeah. It's not too late for me.
Yeah.
All right.
You can go, you two can live in his observatory together.
Fantastic.
You can dunk on him.
Just get right in his face after that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. I've really enjoyed this episode, guys. It's been a really nice change, especially after we had Pack to the Rafters last week. And Jeremy, you weren't there. And you're like my rock.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys did well. You held the fort well without me. I was proud.
Does it make you want to watch Pack to the Rafters?
Not at all. Which I think
good.
You know,
we've done our job. We
mission accomplished. Yeah.
I will say for that episode, I did feel like when we watched in the first and the last, like I feel like I've covered everything. Like
yeah,
I don't need to. There's
that.
Nothing. There's just no juice in the middle of that requires viewing. No.
But MacGyver.
Oh man,
is there some juice there?
I'm gonna go ahead and say I'm definitely gonna watch this.
I will watch the odd episode.
I'm gonna watch a couple episodes of this. I'm gonna try
a lot
because I won't lie. After I watched the last episode on, I think the link we had, it was like on Daily Motion or something like that. It linked into, it just started playing like a random episode in from like season 3. You better watch like 10 minutes of that. And then I realized I had to, oh my gosh, shit, I gotta go. So I'm gonna pick that up probably today, later after this episode. But no, I really enjoyed this. I'd definitely give it a spin, a few episodes. And a few listeners out there, watch it. But Richard Dean Anderson, he's going to be my father, so you guys back off.
Yeah, don't get too close.
7 Pat Rafters out of 10.
I would give it 8 Pat Rafters out of 10.
Okay.
Not for me.
No?
Not that high. Let me know if there's some hilarious clips. I'll check out some highlights, but it was fairly dull.
Yeah, I would definitely go for the top 10 MacGyverings.
Okay.
That's something that
YouTube compilation.
I would really
like. That's
somebody's already done all the hard work. They've already put it all together.
We're just about to go and watch MacGyver vs. Bigfoot.
That's true.
And then we're going to watch MacGyver.
I'm so excited.
MacGyver coffin jet ski.
There's the greatest hits.
I think if nothing else, there's a lot of juice to get out of this just on YouTube clips alone. Because like when you search it, there's a shitload of stuff there.
Yep.
The content is high.
The other thing I'm going to do is probably go and watch MacGruber.
I've never seen it, so
you've never seen MacGruber.
No. Oh, I love that movie so much.
I've seen Hot Shots. What's that one with Val Kilmer?
Top Secret.
Top Secret, like that sort of. Yeah, this, but this, not.
I'd say it's one of those movies where it probably greatly depends on who you watch it with and what mood you're in.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's very dumb.
It's completely absurd. It's
but if you're up for that and everyone else is laughing, then you have a good time.
I can distinctly remember, I watched this with a friend, with a friend of mine, and we really enjoyed it. So we showed a third friend who then proceeded to watch it, I think, 15 times.
Oh my God.
Just became completely obsessed with it.
Mm, he did.
Bought the DVD, just lives and dies by it.
Jeez. And your stepfather, not Richard Dean Anderson.
Oh yeah. My actual stepdad. He recorded this movie twice and I'll be walking past and you go, oh, Morgan, watch this. And you just like cut to a scene in MacGruber and you're just going to be laughing. He goes, oh, God, this is a loves MacGruber.
So you want to replace that's all it is, Financial RDA? Channel or MacGruber.
Yeah. What's that?
That's all he watches, Financial Channel.
Financial Channel and MacGruber. Yeah. That's these two wheelhouses.
He dabbles in a bit of golf, doesn't he?
Dabbles in a bit of golf and he'll watch the football if I'm there to annoy me. Just because he'll make comments and ask me loaded questions. And
Richard Dean Anderson would never do that.
Would never do that to me.
You could teach him to watch football the way you like to watch it.
Exactly. Yeah. And he would.
Great bonding experience.
There's all these things I could do with Richard Dean Anderson. Just give me a chance. Well, anyway, so that was an absolute belter of an episode. I'm really glad we watched MacGyver.
You can be glad about both.
Yeah, but we should probably just leave things there. Jeremy, where can people find us? On the online.
On the online?
Yeah.
On the AOL. fire up your Apple Macintosh and head on over to theincompleteseries.com. You can drop us a suggestion. You can maybe... give us a bit of a reboot of MacGyver. Send us some clips through our Facebook page.
Mm. Just videos of yourself.
Yeah.
MacGyvering.
Or whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No rules. What about on the social medias, Scott?
Yes, you can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you just search for The Incomplete Series, I'm sure we will come up. You can also just drop us a comment there.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the website. We're not forcing you to go to the website.
No.
Not yet.
Not yet. I mean, eventually that day will come. But for the meantime,
we will,
do as you will.
Yeah. And Aaron, where can people find us in real life?
In real life? Yeah. Where can they find us?
Yeah. I don't know.
Malibu in 1991.
Malibu in 1991.
Wherever Richard Dean Anderson is.
As always, if you could jump on to your iTunes and rate and review, it does help us. And
subscribe.
Goes a long way. Subscribe as well, that too. We're also on Podchaser.
You can check us out on podchaser.com.
Drop a couple of reviews down. Always helps.
Give us some money on the Patreon.
Yeah.
First of all, start a Patreon.
First of all, start the Patreon for us.
We'll get there.
Get our bank details and send us the money.
Money now. Me money.
Me one. Need money now. Me sick. Anyway, we'll probably just wrap it up now. So thank you, Jez.
Thank you.
Thank you, Az.
Thank you.
And thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Morgan.
Thank you all for listening.